A blessed 2022 to you. What all does God have in store for us? One thing I'm sure of, spiritual life and renewal is on the menu. And that's what I want to speak about today, God helping me. My message title is God's Promise of Personal Renewal. Now, if I had to choose an alternate one, it would be this: the wine and oil and bread of God. The wine and oil and bread of God. So if we could turn to the 104th Psalm, if you'd turn there with me, we'll see two verses in a moment. As you turn, I just want to testify that I have always liked January. Now, I grew up in West Texas where it was colder in January. Not like last February, the week we had. It wasn't that bad. Was it ever, Jeff, when you grew up in the middle of the Panhandle? Maybe so. But I love January. I have just vivid memories of after the Christmas chaos, the Christmas blessing was over, and it was downtime. And school wasn't started yet. And, you know, guys would hook up a hood of a truck or a car to a chain and pull us around on snow. So I have just wonderful, precious memories of January. And always it filled my mind with new opportunities of change. And I never did New Year's resolutions, but I love January. And here we are. And it's always, for me, become, in some personal ways, new days of the opportunity of renewal. God made a calendar intentionally, didn't He? He made seasons for different reasons. And, of course, spring is a renewal season. But for me, January reflects history moving on and new beginnings. Alistair Begg, quoting someone, said, quote, "The Christian life is a series of new beginnings." Now think this morning, by God's grace, what this year can be for you in terms of new beginnings spiritually, of renewal in different areas of our life. Every believer in here needs this, and all of us are candidates for it. So I love when the psalmist says, God says, "Open thy mouth wide, and what? I will fill it." So, new beginnings always come spiritually in different ways. New periods of fresh repentance, where the Lord kind of just breaks you and remakes you, and there's tenderness of heart again, which has waned and lessened. New beginnings of fresh love for Christ and His Word and for others. You feel it in your heart. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, and there's love flowing in fresh ways, and it's not stagnant. It's not old. It's not curdled like old milk. It's fresh love, fresh wind, fresh fire. Seasons of discouragement and darkness then, by God's grace, turn into times of new encouragement and new help from the Lord. New grace leads to change and victory over and over again as we're renewed by God's grace. So think this morning, dear brothers and sisters, how big and important and promising the reality of personal spiritual renewal is in the Bible. Use whatever word you want to. Revive, quicken. The Holy Spirit blows on the dying embers of our spiritual life. We had a fire going yesterday And I had a hard time at first getting it going, and I just hadn't built it right. So, you know, when I would see it, I was wondering if it's going to catch, and I would go over there and finally, the kindling ignited, and it was blazing, and we were enjoying the warmth really into the evening. Jennifer, when she was at our house, she enjoyed some of those. We hope you'll come over for hot chocolate. Not everybody today, not everybody at once, but the embers have to be blown on. And brethren, in each of our lives, you have areas today that God wants to renew for you, that you'll walk deeper and more stable and more alive and more steady and more consistent by God renewing us. For the individual believer like you and me, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind, the renewing, replenishing, restoring of our spiritual health over and over again. Is that your need this morning? Perhaps you would say, that's my biggest need for this whole year. Well, it can be by His mercy, a year, as the Old Testament puts it, a year of Jubilee, a year of restoration and renewal. For some here, in real reality, and hopefully for all of us. So I'm going to speak on this, the promise of renewal. And it comes to us this morning from our text in Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15. Let this soak in this morning. It's a simple text. We're going to read 14, but the text is primarily verse 15. So Psalm 104, 14. Look there with me and hear God's word. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herbs for the service of man. So notice that. The grass growing is for the cattle, but who's the cattle for? The cattle and the vegetation. The cattle and the herbs are for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. And here it is. And wine that makes glad the heart of men, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. What a verse. The psalmist, as you are familiar with the Psalms and you read them more and more, and many of the Old Testament prophets speak of in terms of renewing, not only in terms personal renewal, not only in terms of what others need, but often the psalmist speaks concerning his own need for renewal, personal renewal. And it's, if we're honest, it's always a need, isn't it? Just ask yourself the question this morning as we pause and you answer it. How much are you in need of some renewing spiritually? If so, how deeply? And if so, in what particular areas? Your mind? Your heart? Your worship? Your prayer life? Your love and appreciation for the bread of God? How much and how real do we need renewal? It's always a need, isn't it, if we're honest, to gain fresh spiritual vigor, to gain new strength, to gain deeper encouragement. So when we talk about renewal, we're talking about a replenishing of that which is waned, of that which is deficient, a re-giving, a reviving, and bringing back with fresh life that which is alive, a renourishing of our inner life, spirit and soul in Christ. The psalmist is always saying, throughout the Psalms and in other places in the Old Testament, That's what the Lord does in the earth as the world continues. And Psalm 4 shows us this clearly and specifically, that the Lord, if you read through the whole psalm, that the Lord, he shows here, is always renewing the natural realm and the earth. And then he inserts man in it. So, David surveys this psalm like a helicopter, going up in a helicopter and for 40 minutes surveying from the air three or four counties, and you see the layout and you see the topography and you see the geography. You're surveying it. David is surveying like that the wonderful works of God in the earth. Just reading that psalm and perusing it, you see an amazing display in summary fashion of what God does in the earth among animals and plants and water and hills and streams and mountains as he continually is reviving or renewing the earth. So, for instance, in verse 10, he says, he sends springs of water to the valley that flows among the hills to give drink to all the beasts, and the wild donkeys quench their thirst and they're refreshed. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, verse 14, and plants the cedars of Lebanon for the birds to have a place to build their nest, verse 16. Well, he also goes on and he says here that he made and sustains the great oceans of the earth. And though they're not mentioned here, we can think about those four major bodies of water, the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian, and the Arctic Ocean. They are big and they are deep, those bodies of water. Why are they there? For what purpose? Well, the psalmist tells us, in which are innumerable living things, both small and great, and even the greatest sea creatures which you have made to play there. Just think of God enjoying the playing of those sea creatures in history and right to today in places that man cannot even see in the depths of the sea. They're there for him. He made it, this creation. So in the entire psalm, you see God as creator, acting, replenishing, and renewing all things. But here's a question. Where is man in the psalm? Well, really two places. You skip down to verse 23, and David says, man goes out to his work and his labor until the evening. There's the mundane routine of man. You'll start back to work, I guess, this week. Many of you, some already have, but that's it. How we live. Man goes out to his work and his labor until the evening. But here we are in our text in verse 14 and 15, which is our text concerning our being renewed by God's working. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation. Why? Meat and veggies for the service of man. Now, if Brian can talk about sweet potatoes, I can too. I'm not much a connoisseur, but when they have that stuff in them that he described and they're prepared right, I can enjoy it. But think about it, brethren. The meat and the vegetables, God could have designed us with no taste buds and we wouldn't enjoy it. But he made us this way to enjoy it. Roast and steak and David venison and ground beef and fish and chicken and carrots and squash and beans and spinach and tomatoes and even spices for salsa at Chipotle. Now that's not in there, but you get my point. All for the service of man. God serves us a platter in life in the earth. And we have it because he's always replenishing it. Right? Remember the severity of the famines in the Old Testament? How bad it got when they were killing children, when there was nothing to eat. Well, all God replenishing the earth is in verse 14. And that brings us now to just camp out on verse 15. Because 15 is a treasure. I want this verse to come alive to you this week. I want you to take it home and mull over it and see it through the lens of the New Testament, through the lens of the New Covenant. Because it's kind of obvious how you apply it as you read the New Testament. Verse 15 is a treasure. It speaks of something spiritually different, something deeper, something marvelous, something that directly speaks of spiritual life renewal. Because the text speaks twice about man's heart, not just the physical body. Our hearts are what need renewal day by day. We need and we have new morning mercies that are ours. And we partake of those, or at least we should, more faithfully all the time. We have a never-ending river of grace, a storehouse of spiritual delicacies, the numerous things God has given us to recharge our life continually. So verse 15 opens to us here what God gives for sustenance to renew us. And what three things are there? Wine, oil, and bread. Now these are metaphors. Of course, you have other, and they represent obviously to us who God is, who Christ is, who the Spirit is. And other metaphors are used about the divine presence in the Bible, the wind, the fire, but here it's wine to make the heart glad, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the heart. Quite the word pictures here. All three realities we need in renewal. A glad or joyful heart. Some of us have been too sad this year and have been overcome by the sadness and the sorrows and the trials, and it weighs us down and we get robbed of the gladness of heart, the joyful heart, the rejoicing heart. A shining face speaks to our countenance. You know, you have one good look at them and their face shows that they're not doing well. Or it reflects the joy of the Lord. It reflects freshness. Our countenance betrays where we really are inside at times. A glad, a joyful heart, a shining face or a countenance, and a strengthened heart. And the encouragement here is God has provided. He always gives the right renewing factor, the proper application to always keep us spiritually healthy. Let me ask you a question. For you, is it God's will for you to be spiritually healthy or for you to wrongfully, carnally struggle and be defeated all the time? Is God's will for you to be spiritually healthy? Follow-up question. Are you today, this morning, spiritually healthy? Or are you anemic? Do you have weak knees? Do your hands spiritually hang down? Does your head hang down and you can't look up? Are you spiritually healthy or not? The provision in verse 15 is wine and oil and bread. Now these things were basics, essentials in the Old Testament life of the patriarchs and the Middle Eastern people. It's basics for staples for living in the ancient world. Wine was essential as their drink when water was bad or non-existent. They They had wine to drink, and they use it properly. Now, man's sinfulness has turned wine into something evil, and in excess, it always works evil. The Bible warns against it. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. But wine itself was a gift of God. And in those days, where no water was, when water was dangerous and could make you sick, wine was their drink. Oils, both internally and especially externally, were applied in a climate where the sun and wind continually were bearing down. I have been in the Sinai Desert for days when I was over there. And the sun bears down in incredible ways. And the wind is dry and it blows through those dry stream beds that we would be driving through. And if you don't have some protection, either with hat or screen, sunscreen or oils to refresh your skin, it would be bad for weeks. Oils were an essential need for physical health then. And bread was the basic food. Now the word bread represents oftentimes in the Bible food in general. It represents meat and all provisions generally in Scripture. But bread was at times what actually, literally, kept people alive. You remember in Genesis, the Egyptians in famine cried to Joseph, give us bread or we're going to die. So bread was the one life source at times for people. All three, wine, oil, bread, essentials to individuals in a personal way. But they do you no good if not properly used regularly. They must become, for us, my wine, my oil, my bread. No matter what others have, theirs doesn't help you. You've got to have your own. And it's these things in our text that God uses to renew us. So let's see these by way of focus here for a few minutes. What does God give us for renewal? Number one, wine to gladden the heart. Wine to gladden the heart. Now, spiritually, we know that wine in the wedding celebrations in the Middle East, even to this day, was a central place. And it represented joyful times, celebration, and when it's abused and misused, it becomes a great evil. But here it's represented in a positive way, especially spiritually for us. This spiritually is not about the physical man, but it's the hidden man of the heart. Wine that gladdens the heart. And we know that, of course, this is representative of who? God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit for renewal and empowering. The Bible speaks to this influence, this power, and coming under the control of this influence, of this the new wine of the new covenant. In Acts 2, those men who looked on only on a surface way observing said about those at Pentecost, well, these men are just, they're full of new wine. They're under the influence of wine. They're just drunk. And Peter said, yes, they are, but not as you suppose. They were, but it was wine of a different kind. It was the wine of heaven. It was the wine of the new covenant. It was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. What do we know of the tasting of the presence and the working and the gifting and the influences and the infillings and the anointings and the receiving of the experiences of God the Holy Spirit in our lives? We will be dry and unrenewed to the degree we're not drinking the wine. of the new covenant. Water turned to wine at the wedding feast, John 2. It's a new bridegroom here with a new wine that replaces all the old. And what does Ephesians 5 tell us? Don't ever be drunk with wine, because that's excess. But always be being filled with the Spirit. Always be bringing yourself consciously and volitionally under the control and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then spiritual life will be there, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, filled with the new wine of God. This is renewing. This is for renewal. And there's no other source, brothers and sisters, for it than Him. I don't care how many seminars or conferences or books you read, our renewal comes from Him. Directly, experientially, supernaturally, we receive of His fullness and grace for grace, and we're renewed in the inner man. When we are coming to place ourselves under the influence of God's wine, the effects will follow. Just like a person, in Ephesians 5, the picture is this: if a person places themselves volitionally under the influence of wine or strong drink, and they keep on, influence is happening. Effects happen. Bad ones. But Paul contrasts that. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be always being filled with the Spirit. The effects will follow. What effects? Peace, new life, new joy, new power over sin. Strength comes and rises up within you. Fruit unto holiness. And others then are affected, and they see this reality. Others will see it and will be affected. And they will say of you, as you're renewed by the Spirit of God afresh, regularly, others will say about you, you may not know it, but they'll say, you know, those people, that man, that couple, that woman, they're different. I can't explain it, but it's undeniable. There's a purity and a cleanness about their life. There's an integrity, how they function at work. They're trustworthy. There's a power about them. There's a presence about them. They're peaceful. They don't seem to be worried wrongly and fearful about what's going on in the world. They're truly joyful, not in a shallow, superficial way, but there's reality there. Power that radiates, that's attractive, and that's affecting. It's the wine. They're DUI. They're driving and living and loving and functioning under the influence of this renewing wine of God. Are you? How much do you seek to be full of the Holy Spirit day in and day out? How much do you cultivate that relationship? You've heard this note sounded at Providence Chapel periodically, but brethren, this is fresh renewal. God gives wine to gladden your heart. Being renewed daily by God's wine. Is that true of you? Well, what's the second thing? Number 2, verse 15, oil to make His face to shine. And of course, these are interchangeable. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. The wine represents the Holy Spirit. But it's the presence of God. The presence of God is what we're looking at. all our study and all our knowledge gaining and all our intellect alone cannot renew us sufficiently. It's got to be within. It's got to be spiritual life. It's got to be the presence of God cultivated and wanted and panted for and welcomed and sought, dwelling in His presence. Lord, fill me with the wine of Your presence. And here, fill me with, rub me, anoint me with Your oil to make me shine, to make my countenance more bright. This is truly, you hear about essential oils, this is the essential oil. A shining face. Now, the picture here, of course, going back to the Old Testament, is that the oil was a physical renewing factor. It restored for those Old Testament saints in their journeys and in their situations. It restored what was lost through exposure to the elements. How much is lost in us by exposure to the elements? This is why we have to be continually, Romans 12, 1 and 2, transformed by the renewing of our mind. And here it's the oil that brings a new shining face to us spiritually, to bring back health, to revive what needs to be healed that's been damaged. But again, the oil must be used and applied. Left sitting in the bottle, it's no help. Now, this picture of oil to make the face shine, obviously brings to mind the ministry of our Lord. Isaiah 61, Isaiah prophesied about the anointing of the Spirit upon our Savior, resulting in this. He will bring comfort to those in Zion who are mourning, and they will be given beauty in exchange for ashes, and oil, the oil of joy, instead of mourning. The oil of joy. And oil in the Bible often represents joy and the freshness. David said it in Psalm 23, "You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." The anointing presence of God. Now this is often external and not just internal. The wine in drinking goes inside and it brings internal influence and health. But the oil is on the external. Here, it's the reality of the coming of the Spirit who's in us and with us, but it is the presence of God coming. David said, in your presence is fullness of joy, and eternal pleasures are at your right hand. It's the oil of God that brings overflowing life. It's the oil of God that brings gladness to our countenance, that brings spiritual health to our countenance. It's the oil of the freshness of life. As Hebrews 1 says of Christ, you loved righteousness and hated iniquity, hated evil. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Above all the others, you've been anointed with the oil of gladness. Jesus was a joyful man. He rejoiced in spirit. And all the realities in Him were because He was a man full of the Spirit, who had the Spirit without measure. They were the fruits and graces that showed forth from His life and His walk. More oil, more anointing, more empowering, more life. a more spiritually shining life and countenance. It's the presence of God. Have you ever been around people? I can remember. Ian, you remember Keith McLeod? I remember being around Keith McLeod from Canada, Bill McLeod, his brother also. It was like they didn't have to say a word. In their presence, there was a power, there was a countenance, there was reality where you knew God was with them. You knew they were living in the presence of God, and their presence impacted you with reality. The presence of God brings a fragrant life. Do you want that this year? Or do you want to settle for the leftovers from this fall? A fragrant life is the fruit of the oil of the Holy Spirit coming on you. As Luke 11:13 says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who are asking? Spiritual countenance comes alive, and it's seen and felt. So here's another question. Is the life of God in you seen and felt by others? This promise of renewal says He gives oil to make your face shine. And it reminds me of what Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. The shining is a spiritual reality that comes out of your life that men see, and it's felt, and they don't glorify you. They see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Is your countenance shining, or is it dull? Spurgeon said, I know some dear believers whose very presence brings comfort and strength to others. This is the life of God within them, which is light and life. So, the wine to make glad the heart, the oil to make your face shine, and the third one is there, bread to strengthen the heart. A strengthened heart comes with you partaking of the bread. The table here is a symbol of that. But aren't you edified when you partake of the bread and you drink of the cup? Spiritually, benefits come. It's an ordinance that brings life. The bread is representative of who He is in our life and what He's done for us. And it brings a strengthened heart. God renews your heart with bread. Our hearts daily need God's bread. How's your diet? Is it feast or famine? Are you spiritually healthy? Are you getting a lot of calories? Or you've been on a diet and you look skinny? How about some bread? Bread supernaturally will strengthen the heart that's weak and fainting. Christ is the living bread. And His bread was what? To do the Father's will. You live unto Christ and you feed on Him and you live to do His will. Strength will always come to you right when you need it. When you're weak, when you're fainting, when you're down, the bread of God will strengthen you. He is, as He is your bread, so will your strength be. as He is imparted to us by the Holy Spirit, as we see Him and behold Him and remain focused on Him as our life, as we feast upon Him and experience Him, we go from weakness to strength. Always. It's certain. Bread that strengthens man's heart. Now remember, Jesus was strengthened by angels more than one time. He was strengthened by food, by bread, and by water. Our Savior, He Himself knew the need of renewed strength in His times of weakness. He was like you are when He was here in that regard. He knows your need. He is your bread to partake of daily. And as you do, strength comes. You don't work it up. You don't have to go looking for it with some formula. Strength comes as you partake of this living bread. Daily bread. And as they said about the physical bread in John, Lord, evermore give us this bread. He is the bread that comes down from heaven. And our hearts should cry, Lord, evermore give me this bread. Let me experience you, that I will have a heart that is continually strengthened by grace, by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual strength is given. It's given as grace to us. And it comes to us. Psalm 84, blessed is the one whose strength is in you. They go from strength to strength. I love that living paraphrase. They will grow constantly in strength. Isaiah 40, another living paraphrase. He gives power to the one who is tired and worn out, and strength to the exhausted. This bread is for your strengthening. Isaiah 35, He strengthens the weak hands, and He makes firm the feeble knees. I feel confident that some of us today spiritually have very weak hands and feeble knees, where it's like spiritually you need a walker. This can change with the wine and the oil and the bread of God. Brethren, we have to stay spiritually renewed. Our spiritual life and health is tied to it. To flourish and not flounder. To finish well and not faint by the wayside. To overcome and not be overcome. A continually renewed life starts and ends with a heart filled with the new wine of God. Anointed continually with the oil of heaven, God's presence, and fed and strengthened with the bread of Christ who has been given to us. Always the oil and the wine and the bread is always nourishing us, always strengthening us, always changing us, always refreshing us, always transforming us. Beloved, all we need for life and godliness, all we need for spiritual sustenance and renewal, we have now. You have Christ, if you're a believer. You have the Holy Spirit in you and with you. You have the Bible. You're with His people. No believer is left out of possessing God's promise of renewal continually. I believe with all my heart this is part of our inheritance. To go from strength to strength. And the Bible says the lame that can end up taking the prey. No matter how weak or anemic or where you are spiritually, Verse 15 is for you today and this month and this year. Make it yours. Spiritual health is precious, but it's also precarious, which means it's fragile. It's subject to decline and erosion. It's easily weakened. It can decay, backsliding, losing your first love, failing to keep watchful, failing to stay fresh. Our choices are clear. Time is of the essence. The time is now. The wine and the oil and the bread are for our daily renewal. Capital One says, what's in your wallet? I say this morning, what's in you that needs renewing? What's in you today that needs renewing? My prayer is for us all, brethren, that the wine of God would increasingly fill us, that the oil of the Holy Spirit would anoint us more and more full and overflowing, that the bread of Christ would nourish you a thousandfold this year, that the joy of the Lord would be your strength, that the love of God would be poured out on you and in you, and that the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, would freshly sanctify you more and more completely, spirit, soul, and body, to give you a glad heart, a shining countenance, and a strengthened heart. May God give us that this year. Amen. Let's pray. I say again this morning, right now, wait before the Lord in the quietness of your heart and pray to Him now what He's spoken to you about this morning. Tell Him. Bring with you words, as the prophet said. Ask Him what you will. Pray about your heart and the wine and the oil and the bread. Be transparent with Him about what areas need renewing. And lay hold of grace today and this week and this month for renewing life. Father, Your Word, by Your Spirit, can transform us. So we pray this morning You would work in us transformation and bring to life afresh what needs to be fully alive. Work in us, O Lord, to will and to do Your good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.